this is the course I'm very excited about. This is the postgraduate diploma in Islamic theology. The reason I'm excited about this is because this stuff you don't generally deal with in a lot of depth in the madaris as well. Fiqh you do, but this one you don't. So for a lot of people, this is a brand new area, but very important area, because there are a huge number of, large number of people that are losing their faith. So essentially, the whole idea of it is to understand the dunya from the perspective of the divine authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Proofs of His existence. Right? Why are we here? Specifically detailing those kind of things. Now this course has two modules. So if we say that it's a 9-hour week, because this is going to take place 3 days a week as well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in the evenings from inshallah 5:30 to 8:30. It does require some of you to give up maktab for it, right? There was somebody who came to me the other day who was discussing with us and said, I want to teach maktab, or should I take this course? I said, it's up to you, but this is a 1-year course, and what this will give you, right? You may not teach maktab, but that's fine. There are so many other people who are teaching maktab. This is only 1-year program. So there's two modules in this. Out of the 9 hours a week, 3 hours a day, in the evening, right? 1.5 of those days will be spent on module 1, which is the Islamic theological beliefs and creeds, and the second part, which will be the Western intellectual tradition, right? So that deals with the philosophy, the theology, and the history of it. Basically, the first one, Islamic theological beliefs aspect, we're going to be doing two kitabs, two books, one an Ash'ari text and one a Maturidi text. These are the two main schools of the we believe as the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, along with an Athari, a pure Athari, would you call it, paradigm as well. But anyway, what these two are is, the first one is a super commentary of Aqidah Tahawiyah. So that's going to be the Maturidi text. And the second one is the Sharul Kharida al-Bahiyya, which is a really nice, kind of concise, Ash'ari text. So you get both styles, and that way you get a decent understanding. So that's why we're not calling this a takhassus in Aqidah, because this is not for takhassus. This is not a specialization program. This is just an advanced course where these two books are taught, along with a number of other supplementary issues related to the Western system. So the module 2 then, these two books, the module 2 is something that I'm going to leave to one of our teachers who's going to be, inshallah, helping us with that. I'm going to let him come and explain that, inshallah. Ustaz, sir. So this is our Ustaz Imran. Your surname was again?
Iqbal.
So Ustaz Imran Iqbal. You can read his bio on the White Thread Institute, right, website. He's going to, inshallah, discuss this aspect of the program.
So I'll go for the second module, which basically, inshallah, is going to provide a kind of strong basis in Western philosophy. We've called it in Western intellectual tradition. If anyone who reads philosophy there knows that the Islamic tradition is part of the Western tradition, in the sense that we took from the Western tradition, which is the Greek philosophers such as Plato, Aristotle, but moreover, we provided the impetus for the Renaissance, the Enlightenment, and so on and so forth. So a lot of the Western ideas now have much root in Islamic philosophy. So what we are going to do is take the approach of I look at certain thinkers, look at certain themes that these thinkers talked about, and look at certain tools as well. So in reality, sometimes it's very hard to engage in a module 1 text like the Kalamic text, because we don't have the tools, we don't have the concepts, and we don't know how the ideas are derived. So if you read something like Aqidah Nasafiyah, the first thing that Imam Nasafi discusses after the Sufis is, what is ilm? And he says ilm is akal, his, and khabar. What is he talking about? He's not started by saying Allah is one. He's gone into the whole issue of what is ilm, and how one acquires ilm, and how one establishes ilm, and what is the definition of ilm. And once we understand what ilm is, then you can start making arguments and proofs for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can start giving proofs and arguments for the existence of prophecy and the need for revelation. But this is all the tools that underlie it. So the module 2 is about acquiring all the tool sets in order to appreciate our tradition in more detail, and moreover, as Mufti Sahib has said, later on appreciate contemporary concerns and problems. So for example, the issues, what is feminism? How do we, in a theological sense, understand the concept of feminism and tackle it? what is the issue of relativity in terms of knowledge? Everyone says, well, you're entitled to your view, you're entitled to your view. What does relativity mean, and how does one encounter relativity, and so on and so forth? So looking at post-modernity and so on. So it has an aspect of looking at thinkers, themes, tools, looking at it from a historical perspective, trying to apply it to our scholars to see how they acquired it and they understood it and they imparted it, and then subsequently to empower us in terms of a modern sense. So it has a kind of diachronic analysis, it has a whole historical aspect to it. So take someone like Ghazali, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, in his The Hafiz al-Falasifah, 20 points he discusses, of which he makes three, and he says three of those points are kufr and 17 of them are bidah. But what are these points? These are philosophical points that came before and then went forward as well. So if you look at someone like Descartes, a very famous Western philosopher regarded as being the founder of modern thought, Descartes, according to many Western scholars, seems to have, you know, had the same kind of ideas as Imam Ghazali. Maybe you can't say that he took in terms of an isnad from Imam Ghazali, but many of the ideas were precursor by Ghazali himself. So it's to appreciate all of these kind of fundamental concepts in order to understand, you know, our theology better, to be able to apply it better, and so on and so forth. So inshallah, in terms of the other aspects we're going to look at, in terms of case studies later on. So in the beginning, obviously, Mr. Saf said we're going to look at the issue of, you know, philosophy of religion, arguments for religion, arguments against. So in terms of, you know, major issues nowadays, or people I have, you know, dealt with, is people have doubt in terms of their beliefs and so on and so forth. And people that have doubt are not just people that we think would have doubts. It's those people that we think would never have doubts. What are these doubts? What are these arguments that are being posed by the issue of, you know, existence of evil? How do you reconcile evil with our beliefs? How do you reconcile science and so on? So when someone like Richard Dawkins is saying, well, evolution is true, and I can't disprove the existence of God, like I can't disprove the existence of leprechauns and fairies, how does one entertain those issues? And then looking at other aspects in terms of gender fluidity is another one. I'm a school teacher. So one of the major issues now coming in school is about gender fluidity, that we shouldn't be referring to people as he or she, male or female. We should be calling them Z. So there's no point giving up gender ideas, because gender is something that's from society, right? It's a imposing patriarchal systems, i.e. male order systems. Therefore, it leads to feminism or feministic arguments against, and so on and so forth, right? The issue of psychology, aspects of those. This last section is basically applying what we have learned in the past to, you know, contemporary issues and try to provide resolutions and solutions that we can. And these solutions will be tentative, because a lot of these areas are very, you know, very new areas, Mufti Sahib has said, and you need thinkers, inshallah, who can provide at least some cogent answers and strong answers to this issue.
So if you look at these topics in a bit more detail, and if we're challenged to discuss this, many of us, myself included, will be very hard-pressed to try to even start with this. I mean, even if you take one of those topics, morality, seems like such a simple issue. But just look at the Wikipedia entry to morality, and you'll see how complex the idea is in terms of the various different opinions, and then what our position is within that, framing our position within that. You know, we understand morality, al-haya'u min al-iman, we understand that concept. How do you provide that in a mainstream, to a mainstream congregation? Now, you have to remember one thing. When I was in America, many of the people I was dealing with, the Muslims, even from an Indian, Pakistani, Arab background, they knew more about this stuff than they knew about Islam. Because the assimilation in America is huge. So this was the discussion that what they were talking about. In England, it's not there yet, but it's going there. In the next 10 years, that's what it's going to be. Because more and more of our young are in university. And this is the kind of discussion. I mean, just think about anybody who's doing English literature and the kind of literature they have to read about homosexuality, lesbianism, and gender fluidity, and all the rest of it. I remember Hudhaifa, my son, he brought an article home once from school. And it was about this young guy, this teen, who had written this article about, was he a boy or a girl? And his whole experience with that. And the culmination, the conclusion was that, does it matter? does it matter? Now, how do you even start dealing with that? Understand? How do you even start dealing with that? That's why I'm very excited about this course, because, and then because this is the paradigm that they're dealing with, when they see ulama who's a big Shaykh al-Hadith even, they have no respect if you can't frame your bayan, your lecture, in those terms and show even an awareness. I'll give you an example. Southall Masjid, Masjid Abu Bakr. It's a massive masjid. It's like 6 floors. And it was a holiday time when I went there for Jumu'ah Khutbah, Jumu'ah Bayan. I think they get about 2,000 or 3,000 people there, right? And I don't know, I was talking about something and I just mentioned the CERN reactor, the Hadron Collider in Switzerland, and how they're bashing these, because I was reading a book on science, so these molecules together to try to find the Higgs boson and all the rest of it. I just mentioned that in the passing. Some young guys came to me afterward and said, this is the first time that we've seen somebody make it relevant. I just mentioned it. He said, hey, we woke us up. One of the other members there, he says, this is the first time we've seen somebody bring the natural world and the spiritual world together. It's otherwise, they just think we're irrelevant. They just know how to read the Quran, they're a Maulvi sahab. Just a massive problem we have like that. This is the kind of stuff Ghazali would be dealing with, Imam Ghazali. This is the kind of stuff he would have been dealing with. That's what he went out to do, and that he's left an indelible mark. That's why I'm so excited about this program, inshallah, that it be of that benefit.